I was asked by Bill to take the message, and it was fairly quick, and I started. And the Lord works in a very strange way. I did a whole bunch of preparation, and then going through it, I found out that it was really not suitable. And that was last night, fairly late. So I went to Audrey and I told her that this is not working out and that I had to redo it. And so if I come across as not totally organized or together, you can understand why. But I really believe it was the Lord who was doing it, because I think he's trying to tell me something and draw me close to him and my dependence on him. And even though I prayed a fair bit over it, I realized that maybe I didn't pray enough. But I wanted to just say a few words based on Psalm 145. So if you have your scriptures here, I'd like you to pull it out. And as I said earlier, I'm amazed at how great God is. God has always been a scientific miracle to me. Okay, and I know that sounds like I'm diminishing him. I'm not. But I see the creation and the things that he's done and the balance of nature. And because of my sort of semi-scientific background, I'm amazed how God has put it all together. But it goes way beyond that. It's a matter of his greatness in all areas. So I like to just read, and maybe just to give a few thoughts on a couple of passages without going any deep, because I just couldn't give this passage the honor that it deserves. But in verse 3, it says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." The word great is used three times. And, we use the word kind of frivolously, don't we? Wayne Gretzky was the greatest hockey player, right? And we look at some of the basketball players are the greatest basketball player, and there's always an argument about who's the greatest baseball player, basketball player. You get people like Einstein, who is a great brain. You have great skills in so many other areas of life. But when you really think about it, Wayne Gretzky was a great hockey player, but how would he perform on a basketball court? Or maybe you should give him a school teacher less work, or maybe some other issues. You see, he was good at one thing, but he wasn't good at a lot of things. Isn't that the way we all are? Or we have gifts and skills that are given to us by God, but we are maybe good at our job, maybe even some would say we're great at our job, but we're not great at everything. But you see, God is different. God is great at everything. Now, I guess my frivolous mind tried to imagine him being a hockey player, and every time he touched the puck, he scored a goal. Or if he was in goal, every time he had a shot, he stopped it. That's frivolous. But the real point is that God is perfect in absolutely everything. So when he created this grass, the grass is perfect. When he created nature, the nature is perfect. When he created you and me, we are perfect. Even though we're imperfect because of our sin, the actual creation itself, the plan was perfect. I'll give you an example of it. I always imagine that there's really three sets of laws, one for man, one for animals, and one for creation, the inanimate objects. Man disobeyed God. Animals were affected by the disobedience of man, and nature was affected by the disobedience of man, but they still have a fixed nature. And so if I drop this on the floor, it falls. If I do it 10 times, it falls. If I do it 100 times, it falls. Isn't it wonderful that God, in his creation, kept the laws of creation? So his laws are perfect and his plan is perfect. But we are not. And we tend to misjudge and belittle God because of what we compare him when we compare him to ourselves. So we do not give God the honor and the glory that he deserves. And so when this passage says greatly to be praised, we can just let that slip off because we think of greatness as being a small thing. What I'm really saying to you is that everything that God has done is perfect because he is perfect. And because he is so perfect, his greatness is unsearchable. We cannot even start to imagine how perfect is, because we think of perfect in a very small and local thing, but God's perfection is in absolutely everything. And so I made a list of the things he's perfect in, and when you start to see this list, you'll realize what I'm saying, the difference between us and God. And to help us to understand his greatness, we need to understand a few of the things, and just a small limited list. He's perfect in his nature. We can understand that. He's perfectly holy. He's perfectly righteous. He's perfectly good. He's perfectly compassionate. He's perfectly merciful, etc. But it goes beyond that. He's perfect in wisdom. He knows absolutely everything. He knows everything in the past. He knows everything in the present. He knows everything in the future. In fact, there's nothing that can be known that he doesn't know. He's perfect in his wisdom, because it's not just knowledge, but it's applied knowledge. He's perfect in power. He can do absolutely anything he wants to do. He's perfect in faithfulness. What he says he will do, he will do. And you can read the scriptures, you can read the prophecies, you can read everything. And one of the beauties of that faithfulness is that Jesus Christ died for us, and he said that he would take us home. And we can count on that because that's what he said he would do. He is perfectly faithful. He is holy. We don't understand fully the meaning of holiness, but he is whole and perfect. Grace. We are sinners, and his grace is perfect. He knows exactly when to give us grace. That is an unsolicited, undeserved gift, and he knows exactly when to hold it back. He is perfect in grace. He's perfect in goodness. You think about it. Every human being on this earth, everything depends on him. You cannot take the next breath you take without his goodness allowing that to happen. Your next meal is because of his grace. Those people sitting around you, the opportunity to sit here and to talk to him, it's because of his goodness. He is good to us, but he is good to all of his creation. Eventually there will be judgment, but he is good. He is good as a person. Think about Jesus Christ. He walked on this earth. He walked among sinners. He had the temptations in the desert. He was cruelly treated. He could have reacted like we do in anger or frustration. But as a perfect person, he was perfect. In his offices, he's Lord and Savior and King. He's perfect, and we can trust him. In his relationship to his people, is there any time that he's let you down? Is there any time that he's failed you? No, never. His relation to us is so great that Christ came and died for us. Think about your problems. Think about your times of sinfulness where you failed him and God's tested you. Has he treated you unfairly? No. He's worked to improve you. God said that all things happen for your good. He's perfect in his relationship to his people. His works of creation, we talked about that. They're perfect. His providence, his plans, perfect. Even though we see chaos in the world, and even sometimes chaos in their own lives, the one thing you need to realize is that chaos is not chaos in God's picture. God knew that was going to happen, and he's using all of the chaos in all of the world to guide the world to the end that he has planned, the coming return of Jesus Christ. And we can see that. But as you put the events together, you realize that God in his providence is perfect. His redemption, can any one of you complain about how God has redeemed you? He saved you. When you think back about all the sins you've committed against him, all the failures you've had, all the times you've fallen short of his glory, his redemption is perfect. We are totally forgiven for sins in the past, sins in the present, and things in the future. Yes, his grace, his greatness is unsearchable. His greatness had no beginning, and his greatness has no end. This is Thanksgiving time, and we can thank God for his greatness, because his greatness means so much to you and to me when you think about all those things. In the second part of this passage, I noticed the word works or deeds comes up. If you look at the verses, I've got them down here. You've got verses 5 is works. Verse 4, works in acts. Verse 6, deeds. Verse 10, works. There's 12, deeds. Verse 17, works. So clearly, this passage is focused to a degree on the works of God. What are the works of God? It's a good question, isn't it? I think I'm going to break it down into two. We've already talked about the salvation, and that's the greatest work that God has ever done. The salvation of his people, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But think about God at a different level. For the people who were reading this psalm when it was first written, the works and the deeds and the acts would have been what happened in Egypt when they were brought out of the Egypt. It might remind them of the miracles that were in the desert, the water from the rock, the breaking of the sour water, the giving of the law. It might talk about the actual stopping of the sun when Joshua was fighting the battle with the Amalekites. You might look at when they entered the promised land, all these things those people would have been looking at. But what about God's wondrous work in your daily life? Have you ever stopped to think how God has intimately worked in your life? I'm going to give you something that came to my mind. When I was a little boy, about 7 or 8 years old, I was playing on the street in Toronto. Cars parked along the street. And I was running between the cars, and I tripped and fell, and I fell down right into traffic. And my head was in line with the tire of a car. And that car came rolling up to me, and it stopped within inches. But before it happened, I said to God, I'm ready to go, even though I didn't really know him that time. And the car stopped, and God said, no, that's not the right time. I've worked on high steel. Stupidly, I'll say foolishly. I've done some crazy things in my career. And when I look back, I could see times when God stopped and intervened in my life, stopped a car that I'd stepped out in front of, stopped something else from happening. And I realized God said, no, I'm working with you. But it's more than that. He's also brought incidents in my life, circumstances in my life, people into my life, that I could honor him and glorify him, to be built up, to be encouraged, and also to be admonished by people. You see, God's works are not just restricted to what he's done in the past. It's what he's doing now and what he's going to do in the future. Keep your mind open to the fact that God is constantly working in your life. And that's what the psalmist is really suggesting here, that remember that God's looking after us. He's caring for us. And I say that with some knowledge because I'm looking at this final thing, and that is the actual, what are his works? Well, in the psalm here, a few of them are laid out. There's many, many that aren't, but I'm going to read a few of them because I've got them listed here again. Is verse 14 first, God upholds those who are falling. Ever had trouble in your life that you were failing and you were just about ready to give up? For the younger people, they may not have experienced that. For us older people, there are times when we're just about ready to pack it in. And God held us up and carried us through it. And he raises up those who are bowed down. Are you discouraged now? Discouraged by the pandemic, by the circumstances, maybe by a job that's lost or opportunities that are gone? God lifts you up. He cares for you and he watches over you. And he has a plan for you. Verse 15, the eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. In our society, we are so wealthy that we get our food just like that. We go to the store and it's there. Well, I traveled in Asia last year, or a couple of years ago, and I realized that it's not like that in the rest of the world. We are so blessed. But even for those people, God provides food for them. He cares for people. He cares for you. He provides your needs. Food, clothing. We're sitting here out in the cold, and I know it's a lot of you are wrapped up pretty heavily. Very, very cold when you don't have hair on your head. I can tell you that right now. So, and it goes on. Verse 16, it satisfies the desires of every living thing. Like all creatures, whether it's the trees, whether it's the animals, or whether it's people, there are needs that we have, and God supplies them. Rain for the crops, rain for the trees, you name it, it's there. And remember, for God, he knows what you need. It's not always things. Most of the time, it's spiritual food. It's something to carry you through and to lift you up. But whatever it is, God satisfies the needs and desires of every living thing. Verse 17, God is righteous in all his ways. That's a work. Everything that he does is done righteously. I have defined righteousness in my own mind, and others will maybe disagree with me, that it's right with God. Because God is perfect, everything that God does is right with him. And so when God acts, it's right because he is perfect. So he's perfectly just. He's perfectly merciful. He's perfectly just. He's perfect in every way. So everything that he does is perfect. So one of the works that he does is expresses perfection in our lives. And he gives us that demonstration. He is righteous and his works are righteous. Verse 18. God never leaves us or forsakes us. He's near to us. We may feel at times when he's not there. I can tell you that from experience. But he never leaves me. And every so often, God will just let you know that he's there. Isn't that wonderful? It's really good to know. A joy. And here in verse 19 is a key one. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears the cry and saves them. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where God has intervened to stop me from doing foolish things. He has met my needs, not just from the point of view of salvation. He has given me a beautiful wife. He's given me a beautiful family. He's given me hope. God has provided for me. As I cried out, he saves me, not just from the point of view of for my sins, but also from my failures, from my stupidity, from my loss of direction sometimes. God is so amazingly good. And finally, in verse 20, God preserves all. He preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ will end up in heaven. Do you know that? You believe that? I hope you do, because it's true. We're going to be in heaven together. And God is going to make sure that it happens, because he is righteous, he is just, but he is faithful, and he will do what he promises. So I've just laid out those few things about God, because I want you to think about just one thing. In my reading of the prophets, God keeps complaining that people are not thankful. We are not thankful enough. We don't realize how God is so intimately involved in our lives and in the way we live. We can't eat without him. We can't breathe without him. We can't think without him. He is in every sense there. We live because he lives. We rejoice because he rejoices. We struggle because he's put those struggles in our life to change us and to build us up and to change into people that are acceptable and usable in his work and in his plan. God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. We should be the most grateful people in the world, but we're not. So I encourage you to start thinking about the greatness of God, how his works are marvelous in our lives, and how he has controlled and manipulated things so that you could live and rejoice and be saved through Jesus Christ. Be thankful, because that's what we are called to do. Father God, you have blessed all of us. You have blessed me particularly. You have not forsaken us. You have not forsaken me. There are times, Father, when I have forsaken you, and I'm sure most of us can say the same. But you are so good. You are so gracious that you have forgiven us. Not at the time, but beforehand. It's really hard to even imagine to be forgiven for sins that we haven't even committed yet. But that's the way you are, because you love us and because you are perfect. We are thankful, Father, truly thankful for what you've done. But we do ask you to remind us, Father, that when we get slack and lazy, when we forget that it's not because of the goodness of our abilities or the special gifted that we have above others, but it's only because of your grace that we have the things that we have, that we've experienced the things we've experienced, that we have the joys and the love that we have. Let us not forget, Father, that you are God, and you alone are God, and we are your servants. And we thank you, Father, that we are just that. In Jesus' name, amen.